Hello, and welcome to this third episode of Season 4 of the Regulatory Radio podcast series. My name is Wayne Howell, head of the Regulatory Staffing Team at FRAIR, and in this episode, we will be discussing CMC requirements pertaining to biologics and biosimilars in the EU. We'll discuss more in detail shortly with our speaker, Michael Lambell. Mick is our Senior Vice President of Medicinal Products of Regulatory Affairs at FRAIR, and in this episode, he will provide an overview of regulatory requirements for biologics and biosimilars in the EU. Let's hear it from Mick now.
Hello, Wayne. Thanks for having me as a speaker in this podcast series.
Thanks, Mick. Let's get started with a few thoughts about CMC as it relates to product development of biologics and biosimilar products.
Sure, Wayne. Chemistry, Manufacture and Control, or CMC, represents the procedures used to assess the physical and chemical characteristics of drug products and to ensure their quality and consistency during manufacturing. CMC expertise is critical to the successful development of products and to appropriately manufacture pharmaceutical or biological products, developing manufacturing processes, product characteristics, and product testing criteria and methods all need to be developed and defined to ensure that the product is safe, effective, and has consistent quality between batches. All stages of the drug development phase, as well as necessary changes and maintenance throughout a product's life cycle, involve CMC activities, which are an integral part of regulatory submissions to competent authorities to obtain initial approvals and to maintain compliance.
Okay, thanks. And can you explain a little more about CMC activities involved in the development of biologics and biosimilars?
CMC development of a biological drug involves the following steps: cloning of a specific gene into a vector, transfer of the vector into the host cell, replicating the host cell line to increase protein expression, which may be referred to as an upstream process, harvesting protein products from the host cell line, purifying the selected protein, which may be also referred to as a downstream process, and then analytical characterization and product formulation. In addition, for a biosimilar, a quality target product profile, or QTPP, is established early in the development cycle. And to develop the QTTP, extensive analytical testing is performed, including physicochemical and biological assays to acquire a thorough understanding of the reference product. Biosimilars are developed based on the information gathered by testing the reference product and matching critical quality attributes, or CQAs.
Thanks, Mick. Could you shed some light on the particular focus areas during the development of biologics and biosimilars?
Certainly, yes. The key areas of CMC development are expression systems and cell banks, manufacturing processes and control strategies, stability studies, and characterization of the drug substance. And for biosimilars, additional quality comparative studies against the reference product are required.
Mick, you mentioned expression systems and cell banks. Can you talk a little more about these?
Yes. Expression systems are genetic constructs, that is, a gene encoded by DNA. And these are designed to produce a protein either inside or outside a cell. The expression construct for a biosimilar encodes the same primary amino acid sequence as its reference product. The type of expression system will affect the types of process and product-related substances, impurities, and contaminants that may be present in the protein product. Some of the host cells used are Escherichia coli, Saccharomyces cerevisiae, and Pichia pastoris, as well as Chinese hamster ovary, or CHO, cells. A cell bank is a collection of appropriate containers whose contents are of uniform composition, stored under defined conditions. Each container represents an aliquot of a single pool of cells. It's also important to understand that cell banks need to be characterized and qualified.
Mick, help me understand, what's involved in cell bank characterizations and qualification?
Sure. The concept of a two-tiered cell bank, in which the master cell bank, or MCB, is used to generate working cell banks, WCBs, is generally accepted as the most practical approach to providing a supply of cell substrate for the continued manufacture of a product. The objective of cell bank characterization is to confirm the identity, purity, and suitability of the cell substrate for manufacturing use. In some cases, additional testing such as tumorigenicity or karyology may be useful. The testing program chosen for a given cell substrate will vary according to the biological properties of the cells. Manufacturers should perform tests for identity and purity once for each MCB and tests for stability during cell cultivation once for each product to be registered. In addition, tests of purity and limited tests of identity should be performed once on each working cell bank. Cell bank stability needs to be carried out at regular intervals, and cell banks need to be requalified at defined intervals as well.
Mick, could you summarize the main steps involved in manufacturing process development and the corresponding control strategies?
Well, Wayne, manufacturing process development should include, at a minimum, the following elements. Firstly, identifying potential critical quality attributes, or CQAs, associated with the drug substance, so that those characteristics having an impact on drug product quality can be studied and controlled. And then develop a manufacturing process appropriate for the product type, which is also robust, reproducible, and well controlled, ensuring consistent product quality. Defining a control strategy is key to ensuring process performance and product quality. Control strategies should be in place to cover multiple areas, including raw materials, cell banks, in-process controls during manufacture, drug substance and drug product release testing, viral clearance testing, among others. And lastly, processes to ensure good manufacturing practices need to be established, and reproducibility of the manufacturing process needs to be demonstrated. Process validation should be carried out to ensure the consistency of the process.
Thanks. And could you comment on the importance of establishing appropriate specifications?
Yes. In general terms, a specification is the collection of tests, references to analytical procedures, and appropriate criteria for acceptance, which are numerical limits, ranges, or other criteria for the test described. It establishes the set of criteria to which a drug substance, drug product, or materials at other stages in the manufacturing process must conform in order to be considered acceptable for its intended use. Specifications are critical quality standards that are proposed and justified by the manufacturer and approved by regulatory authorities as conditions of approval. Testing procedures must be developed and validated to measure critical quality attributes and to ensure that the quality of final products is acceptable. These analytical procedures should be modified or improved with appropriate validation throughout the product lifecycle in line with continuous improvement activities.
Could you please tell us more about the approach that is followed for in-house reference standard development?
Well, reference standards are developed as part of the analytical control strategy. Due to the complex nature of biologic products, a well-characterized reference standard is essential to ensure consistency between different batches of product. A two-tiered approach is followed, meaning a primary and secondary reference standard. Primary reference standard will be established by using the clinical trial material and current manufacturing process. Also, the use of a reference standard will ensure the comparability of the product to be marketed with that used in clinical trials and provide a link between process development and commercial manufacturing. And of course, the characterization and qualification and requalification of the reference standard should be performed with reliable, state-of-the-art analytical methods.
Thanks, Mick. Now, stability is, of course, a key property. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Stability studies for biologics are, of course, essential to assess sensitivity to factors that could cause aggregation and degradation, which impacts biological activity, product safety, and quality. The evaluation of stability may necessitate complex analytical methodologies. Assays for biological activity, where applicable, should be part of the pivotal stability studies. Appropriate physicochemical, biochemical, and immunochemical methods for the analysis of the molecular entity and the quantitative detection of degradation products should also be part of the stability program, whenever purity and molecular characteristics of the product allow the use of such methodologies. To reduce the risk of degradation and maintain the biological activity of the product, suitable conditions for storage and shelf life must be established. By understanding degradation routes, it's possible to establish which critical quality attributes are more susceptible to change throughout the lifetime of the biologic product. Stability studies should be conducted at real-time and accelerated conditions for drug substances and drug products to establish the shelf life of the drug product. Studies under stress conditions can also be useful in determining whether accidental exposures to conditions other than those proposed are damaging to the product and for evaluating which specific test parameters may be the best indicators of product stability.
Mick, one last question. What are the steps involved in product characterization?
Sure, Wayne. Characterization of a biological product includes the determination of physicochemical properties, biological activity, immunochemical properties, purity, and impurities by appropriate techniques. Extensive characterization is performed in the development phase and, where necessary, following significant process changes. A physicochemical characterization program will generally include a determination of the composition, the physical properties, and primary and higher order structure of the desired product. Biological activity describes the specific ability or capacity of a product to achieve a defined biological effect. The results of biological assays should be expressed in units of activity calibrated against the reference standard when an antibody is the desired product. Its immunological properties should be fully characterized. Product and process-related impurities should be well characterized for establishing the complete profile of the product.
Many thanks, Mick. That was an insightful episode about CMC requirements for biological products in the EU.
Thanks very much, Wayne. My pleasure.
And following this episode on CMC requirements for biological products, stay tuned for more informative discussions in future episodes.